guys. Welcome back to another episode of the Strong Mom Podcast. And as always, it's me, Marisa, the Mighty Mamacita, your host. And on today's show, it's actually, you guys are stuck with just me. I thought it would be fun to do a little Q&A so that you guys get to know me better. And keeping in mind that my experiences are my own, my opinions are my own. So hopefully at the end of this, we can create dialogue and not get any hurt feelings, because I do intend on answering the questions honestly from my point of view. So let's just get the eHarmony questions out of the way, because for whatever reason, these are questions that I get asked all of the time when I post something. I'm 42 years old. I have two kids, a 14-year-old and a 12-year-old. I am 5 feet tall. Yes, tall, not short. And I fluctuate between 112 pounds at a low and 117 pounds at a high. It kind of just depends on my caloric intake at the time. And I have been weight training since I was 17 years old. So definitely been doing this a very, very long time. So let's just get into the set of questions. I'm going to break this into parts: training questions, body image questions, mindset questions, and family questions. A lot of new moms reach out to me asking me how to balance their schedules and how to find time. There is always time to train and work out. I encourage all moms to make time for themselves. I know that there's a lot of mom guilt that happens to us women after we have kids. There's this expectation where you need to maintain the house, maintain your career, maintain the kids. And I always felt like, well, that's not really fair. You know, there's not that same expectation on the fathers out there, at least from my experience. Like, it's still okay for them to still have their regular activities. Meanwhile, we're all trapped in the house trying to be the best mom and feeling guilty when we leave our kids behind. But I always felt like it was very important for me to regain some semblance of my old self and not just fall into this role. Well, I'm a mom now, so I can no longer pursue my goals. I can no longer pursue my dreams. And that's just not true. And it's actually very depressing that some moms feel like that. Growing up, my mom would always say, "Primero Dios y después los santos." So that basically means God first and then the saints. And I always took that as I need to take care of myself first, because I'm no good to my kids. I'm no good to my significant other. I'm no good to my employer if I'm not being good to myself first. So take care of number one. A happy mom is a good mom. And your kids are not going to suffer if you're gone for 45 minutes. So once you get over that guilt part, how do you find the time if you have a 9-to-5 job? Well, talk to your employer. When I had a job, I couldn't train after work just because of daycare, and it was too expensive for me to pay extra. And at the time, my daughter cried a ton. So a lot of times dropping her off at the gym daycare, I would get called back there so much that I couldn't get a workout in, because every time she would be screaming, they would call me to come and get her. So that being said, I talked to my boss and I said, "Hey, instead of doing 2 15-minute breaks and a 45-minute lunch, can I combine my hour lunch and my 2 15-minute breaks? That way it's an hour and a half, so I have some time to get showered and cleaned back up before work so that I can go train. This is really important to me. I feel like I'll be a better employee this way. I will not take advantage of it." And I was actually very surprised by how open they were to that. So if you have a job and you have a 9-to-5 and the only time you can do it is during lunch, talk to your employer. See if there's something that you can work out. I guarantee you 9 times out of 10, they will try to accommodate something with you. That being said, if that's not an option and your only option is a gym daycare, I took my daughter to the gym daycare when she got older and she didn't cry as much. And I'm not even going to lie, there were still times where I would drop her behind that gate and she would be screaming at me, reaching up her arms, "Mom, Mom, Mom." And you do have that moment where you feel guilty, but I would just go back, tell her, "Hey, I'm going to be gone. I will be right back. You're going to be fine." And I would go and get my workout in. Great part about that is it did force me to work a little bit faster. It forced me to have something written down, so you're not just going in there haphazardly. You actually have a plan. And my daughter learned that, hey, mom's coming back. So I think it was really good for her to build her confidence as well, while also giving me a much needed sanity break, because my daughter was pretty hard to deal with. She was very much like a pit bull. That's what I would compare her to personality-wise, just very strong-willed, and she would cry all day long. And when 3 daycares quit on you because they can't deal with crying, you know you're dealing with a strong-willed personality. So that leads me into, how do you get kids to the gym? Because a lot of people see my Instagram and they're like, "Oh, it's so awesome that your daughter's in the gym and you guys are look like you're having a great time." Yes, my daughter is night and day from how she was when she was a toddler. the gym time for us now has become a place where we can bond, where we can laugh. I'm hoping to instill good habits in her. But it wasn't always that way. When my daughter was younger, I would try to take her to do gymnastics, and I wanted her to do the things that I did. And she would act a fool in that place. She would lay on the floor and just start crying. And it got to the point where it was just so disruptive. She was disruptive to the other people in the class that I'm not that mom that's going to leave my daughter there. I would just, you know, put her in the car and I would cry and I would try again the next day. And it would happen so much that I would get really frustrated to the point where I was crying. I'm the one crying now. We're both crying in the car together. And her dad was just like, why do you keep doing this to yourself? She is not you. She's not going to like the things that you like. And it really took me a second to realize, you know what? He's right. She is not me. She's not going to fulfill my dreams for me. She's going to have her own passions and her own things that she's excited about. So fast forward to now that she's 14, and sadly, to my dismay, she is not excited about sports. She is not that kid that wants to try every sport in school. In fact, she hates most sports. So as her mom, I told her, well, you have a choice. You're going to do something. So if you don't want to do a sport just for fun, I don't expect you to be, you know, the state champion in anything. But I do have an expectation that you're not going to just lay around the house watching YouTube videos all day. So as your mom, you're either going to do a sport and you're going to do it for fun and for the social aspect of it, or you're going to start coming into the gym with me and start working out at least 3 times a week so that you're staying active. And she decided that, well, her choice was going to be to come and work out. So if you're trying to get your kids in the gym and they just don't like it, as a parent, you have to give them some sort of ultimatum, especially if they're not doing anything outside of the gym. Like I said, if they're just laying around. But I also make it fun. I asked her, what are your goals? What would be your goals coming in here? And even though her goals are just to have a big butt and thin arms, and I'm just like, oh, great, you want to be that Instagram girl. But at the same time, those are things that are going to make her motivated to come into the gym. So if that means that we're squatting and doing hip thruster type of things every single time that we train, and I'm sprinkling in other things in there to increase her strength, increase her upper body strength, doing some calisthenics body weight type of work, doing some plyo work, and then she starts realizing, wow, this is kind of fun too, and I can jump further now, I can jump on that higher box now, and she starts getting excited about those things without knowing that was without that even being her original intent to get into the gym. So if you're trying to get your kids excited, have a plan, make it fun. Don't yell at them if they're not doing the things that you want them to do because they are not you. But make it fun enough so that they're excited about it. My daughter has been coming in and out of the gym since she was about 8 years old. So that was the next question. Well, what age can I start my kids? My kids have basically grown up in the gym. They used to always just play around when they were younger, mostly doing body weight stuff, jumping around, playing on the gym equipment. I still don't have my daughter under heavy loads of weight. It's still, you know, light dumbbell work, body weight stuff, and mainly just because she's not as excited about lifting heavy. So if that's not what she's excited about, I have to do things that are going to keep her interested in the gym. So there's a really big myth that your kids shouldn't lift weights. It's going to stunt their growth. And, you know, of course you want to make sure they're having good form. But if you look at, there's lots of parents out there that have their kids lifting. There's lots of weightlifters that have been doing it forever. So it's not going to hurt them. Just make sure that you're monitoring their form and that you're making sure they're doing things the right way. Okay, moving into some training questions that I got. And I get asked this so much, and I almost hate answering the question because I actually don't have a great answer for this question, but it's, do I change my programming around my menstrual cycle? And the answer is no, I actually don't think about it that much. And in all fairness, I don't have serious menstrual cycles that cause me great pain or anything like that. But when you're getting ready to compete, I don't get to pick my competition date. I can't call the meet director and say, hey, you know, the competition's coming right around my period, so do you think you can reschedule this so I can be at my strongest point for the meet? I like to mentally go into every training session knowing that I'm going to be able to do it and not think about the 5 things that might be holding me back today. So in that sense, I just don't think about it. I try to stay consistent with the things that I can control, which is my nutrition, my sleep, et cetera, et cetera. I don't like to have, again, different things on my mind as a reason why I'm not going to be able to lift today. So sorry, guys, I don't have a great answer for that. by all means, if you're a woman out there that has her programming arranged around her menstrual cycle and you've found that it's been helpful, would love to hear from you. So please comment and let us know. And this way people can get in touch with you and have questions answered that I don't have the answers for. Leading kind of tied into that is birth control. I get asked a lot if I am on birth control. I am not on birth control. However, I was on birth control before. So again, I didn't find that it affected my lifting. I didn't feel stronger or weaker from it. I don't even recall kind of what dose I was taking or what I was on with that. I did, however, get off of it mainly because I noticed that my lymph nodes underneath my armpits were swelling a lot and it was causing a lot of discomfort. I did not want to get pregnant though, so I switched over to a non-hormonal IUD. I don't know if I'd recommend an IUD if you're younger and wanting to have kids. There is a whole list of side effects that can happen if they move around. I'm not too concerned about that because I don't plan on having any kids in the future. So that was just a very good option for me. It eliminated the need to take pills and it's also non-hormonal. I know a lot of people, when they get an IUD inserted, they complain about crazy stomach cramps or excessive bleeding. I have not had any of those issues either way. In all fairness, I've never had really bad periods, and I've always felt like I've been that girl that stays on an even keel, and I don't get super cranky or start yelling at people. My mom was always very strict with us, like, hey, you know, this is just another day. Every woman in the world deals with this. This is not an excuse for you to be mean to people or to be angry. So, you know, just carry on with your life as if nothing has happened. So my mom's very old school, so we just didn't complain about it. And I'm not dismissing out there that some women have very severe periods, or for those women that suffer from endometriosis. So I know that there are definitely people out there that have to deal with severe issues that I fortunately don't have to deal with, but then that also means that I don't have a great answer for some of these things. Training while injured, how do you deal with that? I have been dealing with a sciatic injury for over a year. I think one of the great things about having a good coach like Chad is he was able to say, hey, we're gonna pivot, we're gonna focus on what we can do, and we'll get you ready. We might have to stay a little bit behind the curve, but you're going to be ready to compete. And the focus is to keep you healthy. So if you are dealing with an injury, focus on what you can do and not what you can't do. Keeping in mind that we are in this for the long game. I'm not too concerned about competing in the next 3 months. I want to compete for the next 5-10 years. So if you're injured and you're trying to hurry the process too quick, you could definitely make things worse. So just find workarounds, get a good doctor, and make sure that you stay up on the prehab stuff. So even for me, like, I don't feel as bad as I did with the sciatica, but I'm very diligent about doing all of the exercises that Dr. Quinn prescribed to me. I'm still very diligent about going to see my chiropractor every single week. Even though I don't feel like I need to every single week, I want to make sure that I stay on top of this so that I don't have to be dealing with, oh crap, I felt good, so I stopped doing the things that were keeping me healthy, and then I get injured again, and then I have to go back to square one, dealing with finding workarounds and rehabbing the injury once more. So moving on to body image, how do I accept myself as being a more muscular woman? Well, since I've been lifting since I was 17, I feel like I've been in this niche sport in the 90s, even before there was, obviously, before there was social media and before there was this huge popularity of powerlifting and women in powerlifting, which I think is amazing. But I love muscles. I remember picking up the first Flex magazine and seeing Sharon Bruneau and really loving the way that she looked. I thought her muscles were sexy. I thought she carried it very well, and I wanted to look like that. So I've always loved being more muscular. I will, however, admit that when you leave the gym environment where everybody is trying to achieve the same goal, everybody's complimenting you on your strength or your physique, and you're surrounded by your peers, when you leave that gym environment and you go out into the quote unquote real world where you're just, you know, in the grocery store, you really realize how small of a niche bodybuilding is, because that's when you get people coming up to you wanting to touch your arms or asking you to flex or whispering, you know, behind you in the line at the grocery store how you look, oh, that looks terrible. I would never want to look like that. She looks like a man. There are definitely moments when you get comments like that you want to turn around and just yell at somebody and just tell them, like, first of all, It's not that easy. You're not just going to step into a gym and boom, you get muscles. Second of all, how dare you feel like you can come up to me and tell me how you would never want to look like me? I totally understand that everybody has their preferences. Everyone's going to think whatever they like is what they like, and that's what they find attractive. That's great. I also have my own preferences. I don't particularly find very thin men attractive. But I would never in life go up to a guy who I thought was thin and tell him how disgusting he looks because he's so thin. And I think it's really strange that there is this mentality that if you see someone who's got who's in shape, specifically women who have more muscle, that people feel it's within their right to come up to you and tell you how disgusting you look or how you look like a man or you're way too bulky for their liking. And in my mind, I'm like, well, that's great. I really care about how you think I look. So I'm not even going to lie and say that there aren't moments where I'm just like, okay, you know, you feel depressed or you feel upset by what people are saying. But at the end of the day, I really like the way I look. I love being strong. I love that I can change that my own tire on my car, that I can put things up in my garage and I don't need to ask for help. I love that I can go into the gym and deadlift what some guys are deadlifting and then put the weight away and have them come up and be like, wow, I'd never seen a girl do that before. I love lifting weights. I love being strong. So I could care less if somebody out there doesn't like the way I look. So if you're dealing with negative comments and you're just getting into lifting weights, remember your why. You're doing this for yourself. You're not doing it to get accolades and comments and likes from complete strangers. It's like I tell people, unless I am living with you, sleeping with you, you're in my life in some significant way, I could care less if you like the way I look or not. So find that confidence within yourself to be who you are and not let anybody derail your goals, especially a freaking stranger who doesn't know anything about you. 9 times out of 10, when people are making those negative comments, it comes from a place, I hope that it comes from a place of just being ignorant and not being malicious. However, when the comments are coming from like 40-year-old men, you always have to wonder how they are raised because my 12-year-old son has a lot more sense than some 40-year-old men. So yeah, we all get it. I don't care how beautiful you think someone is or how attractive you think someone is. There's somebody out there who doesn't like them too. Like Dita Von Teese says, you can be the ripest, juiciest peach, and there's still somebody out there who doesn't like peaches. So don't waste your efforts on those people who are not gonna like your peach. Okay, so that leads me into the mindset questions and how do I stay motivated? I stay motivated because I love lifting weights. I don't need outside people getting me excited about the gym. Because I've been doing this so long, I've accepted that lifting is very redundant. I've accepted that it's not linear in the sense there are definitely ups and downs. It's not always PRs. So if you're feeling like you're not motivated, I think a lot of that stems from people not having an end goal. If you're not having goals, it's hard to get yourself to get into the gym, especially if it's not something that you're 100% passionate about. So have a goal, find that internal motivation to keep going and get yourself in. Surround yourself with people that inspire you. So people cannot motivate you, but there are people that you can look up to that go, that you see that are, you know, walking the walk, talking the talk, that inspire you to let you know that, yes, this is possible and it can be done. How do I deal with meet day nerves? I think a lot of people are surprised that certain athletes at certain levels still have nerves when they get on the platform. I 100% am nervous every single time I step on that platform, and I compete about 3 times a year. When you're at that chalk bowl and they say the bar is loaded, there are nerves, there's butterflies in my stomach. And you can either use those nerves and that anxiety to your advantage, or it can completely destroy you. And I've seen people that are great in training and then they kind of fall apart when they get to a meet. So I use those nerves to hype myself up. So instead of thinking, oh my God, I'm so nervous, I hope this goes well. No, I'm thinking, I put the training in and I just scream, you got this. Or if I'm going out for a deadlift, I just yell and then go and rip it up off of the floor, even though sometimes it doesn't come up, but I still go out there and I hype myself up. How do I deal if I'm having a frustrating training session? So I think it's really important if you're having a frustrating training session or you have a fail when you're training. And that happened to me last week when I was squatting. I failed a 325-pound squat, which I've done before. And I could have sat there and got really mad about it. And I'm not going to lie, I've done that before. But I've really tried to make it a point to pivot my mentality at that moment. So instead of going, okay, this went really bad, I thought when I sat down, I said, okay, what has gone really good in this training session today? And for me, what went really well in the training session was I squatted 314 pounds without having my back spot behind me, which is Chad. He's my security blanket. So when I'm going heavy on those top sets and I know he's behind me, I'm more aggressive. I'm more confident. But I had to squat last week without him being there. And yes, I had the safeties, but I didn't have him. So for me, I thought, okay, well, I failed the 325, but for me to get under 314 pounds, when I had never gone above 300 without having a back spot, that was a win for the day. So I took that as a mental win. So if you're having a challenging training session, think about what's going well instead of thinking about what just went bad. And then you got to leave that behind, because don't let frustrations from the previous training session start infecting the training sessions that are going to have to come after that. So next question that I got is, how do I mentally prepare myself for a challenging training session? I actually don't look ahead. Chad sends me about 4 weeks of programming at a time. I don't look ahead and think, oh God, in 3 weeks I have to hit a really heavy deadlift, because then I'll just be thinking about that heavy deadlift. For me, I like to just focus on what is at task for that day. And then I just keep visualizing success. So if I know I have a heavy bench on this day, I just keep visualizing that I make that bench, and I visualize it over and over and over. So if I visualize that enough, the hope is that my body does what it's trained to do, and I don't let my mind take over and start putting in doubt. So I just keep trying to visualize success. Oh, and sorry guys, I need to back up to body image questions because I forgot one. I got asked how I dealt with my body image after giving birth. So if any of you out there have had kids, you know that it does a number on your body. Like, it's definitely a scary time, especially when for your first pregnancy, when you have no idea what to expect. And I remember after I had my daughter, I was, laying there and I pulled my stomach, and it pulled, like it stretched really far, and I let go and it just kind of flopped there, and I started crying. And my daughter's father was just like, oh my God, are you sad? You know, because you just had the baby. And I was like, no, I'm sad because like I pulled my stomach and it didn't bounce back. And it was terrifying, because as somebody who came from being very athletic and having a certain physique, I was going, oh my God, is my body going to bounce back? It was this terrifying thought. But I assure you, ladies, the body is an amazing thing. And if you take care of it, it will take care of you. So by that, I mean, when I was pregnant, I trained throughout both of my pregnancies. I watched what I ate. I didn't gain a crazy excessive amount of weight. I didn't use pregnancy as a reason to be like, oh, I can eat whatever I want and I'm going to gain 100 pounds, because I already knew if I gained 100 pounds, that means after I have the baby, that's just going to be so much more work. And I'm already going to have to adjust to having a child in my life and having to work that into my schedule. So if you're pregnant now, definitely just try to be healthy. Don't use it as a reason to go crazy and eat whatever you want. But then after you have the baby, just take the time to enjoy the fact that you're a mom. Enjoy the fact that you have brought this new baby into the world and that your body did an amazing thing. And then when you're cleared and you're starting to feel like yourself, get back into your schedule. Get back into finding yourself again, because you don't have to just fall into that role of I'm just a mom now. No, because you were still a whole different person before you had your kids. And it's okay to still be that person along with this new role. And this might not be a very popular opinion, but for me, a big motivator to get back into shape was not just for myself and for vanity purposes. It was also because I would hear when I got pregnant, people would come up to me like, oh, well, now that you're pregnant, it's over for you. You're going to get fat. And I really just wanted to prove these people wrong. Like, no, actually, I don't have to just get fat. That's not what happens when you have a kid. That's not an excuse to let yourself go. But I also wanted to regain my shape and my physique for my significant other. And while that may not be a popular thing to say, because people will be like, oh, well, he should love you and support you no matter what, I'm speaking from my perspective and my point of view. For me, I would run into people all the time that would use their kids as an excuse. So they'd be like, oh, well, I never lost the weight after my kids. And I always thought, well, wow, your kids are 14 years old now, or they graduated high school. I think that's a crazy trip to put on your kids too. Well, I look this way because of you, or I didn't pursue this because of you. No, my kids are a source of motivation for me. I'm pursuing these things not only for myself, but for you, so that you can see, especially for my daughter, so that she can see, hey, you know what? Kids are not a physique death sentence. Kids are not a goal and dream death sentence. I can still pursue those things and be great at still being a mom. And since I got sidetracked there, just to get back to my original point of wanting to look good for my significant other, for me, I personally don't feel that there's anything wrong with that. I think oftentimes when you're with somebody for a while, you get really comfortable and you stop doing those things that you did in the beginning. You kind of stop taking care of yourself. And for me, a big part of that was going to the gym together, training together, and enjoying that lifestyle together. So I just wanted to make sure that I continued to do those things, not only for myself, but for us in the relationship at the time. Okay, so hopefully I didn't thoroughly piss anybody off with that last little statement there. So I just wanted to end this here. Actually, I will end this segment on a parenting fail. So, you know, nobody is perfect. I am especially far from perfect. And probably one of my, well, not my first parenting fails. I've had many. But I remember I was always the drop-off pickup person for my kids for school. And I had gotten off of work early. My daughter was in kindergarten at the time. And I honestly just forgot. I had so much extra time, I forgot that, oh my God, my daughter got out of school, and I got a phone call. I don't even know what I was doing. I was just doing stuff around the house. I think I was cleaning, putting stuff away, and I get this phone call, and it was the principal. He's like, hi, you know, is this Maharet's mom? And I was like, yeah. And then instantly, right then, my heart dropped, like, oh my God, I forgot to pick up my daughter. He's like, yeah, your daughter's been sitting in the office for over an hour, and no one's come to pick her up yet. I felt like the biggest loser parent on the planet. I rushed over there. I picked her up. She was, of course, crying because that's what my daughter does and did at the time. And I felt terrible. I told her, oh my God, mommy, you know, is here. I got, you know, sidetracked at home cleaning, and I'm so sorry. I apologize. But to all you parents out there who forget your children, hopefully you don't. But if you do, don't feel bad, because you will never, ever, ever live it down, because I am still not living that moment down. It still haunts me. Every time I drop off my daughter at school, mind you, she's in ninth grade now, turn into the drop-off line, and I have to hear 50 times before she gets out of the car what time she gets done with school and what time I need to be there to pick her up. So I have not lived it down. I don't think I will ever live down the fact that I forgot to pick her up from school one time in kindergarten. So as always, thank you guys so much for listening. You can follow me on Instagram at Marisa Inda, on Facebook at Marisa Inda. You can follow this podcast at The Strong Mom. And please subscribe, rate, and review. And I will see you guys next week.